And it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show every night till 10 o'clock out here on the El Pacifico and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. Nice to have you guys with us. And with me is Margaret Gray along with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. And we've got Don Berman from Channel 19 News who is about to jump on the line with us here as we continue talking about not just the... I'm not just talking about the so-called Obamacare slash government shutdown. I don't think they ought to tie those two together. I mean, there's people that would like it that way. But Obamacare, last I checked, was, you know, passed and was law. And I know I sound like so many people that are, quote, apologists. I don't understand it. There was an article in the Washington Post. What did you want, Margaret?
I thought we were going to do...
Yeah, about the song.
Oh, the song. You want to do that now?
Yes, you said it would be nice to start the program with something light, and I hear you launch into Obamacare, for God's sake.
Well, excuse me, it's a headline.
I know it's a headline. You said we'd start with the song, and we would start easy and work hard, which you know I objected to that.
Yeah, you don't want to say it. It sounded like you're looping something up.
Oh, would you guys? What is it with you guys, okay?
That's what you said.
I didn't say that. You guys said it.
I said start easy and work hard. That's what... Isn't that what you said?
I said we'll start light and we'll get heavy. I didn't say start easy and work hard, and I never said anything about lubing up, okay?
I'm sorry, but...
And I'm going to start the show like this?
Dude, your voice is all squeaking.
I don't care if my voice is squeaking, okay?
Well, Phil, you're going, you want to start the show like this? Relax, will you?
You're right, I forgot.
Exactly, you forgot.
All right, folks, before we get into some of the heavier stuff, tonight we're going to talk to Don Berman about news coverage of the government shutdown. We're also going to be talking about some of the things that have been shut down and how the news may be positioning stories to coincide with those shutdowns. Just to give you kind of an idea of what we're talking about, Yosemite, 125 years old, and there has been, or this has got nothing to do with the shutdown?
No, it's got to do with it. Yosemite's 125 years old, though. Then they had a cave-in. They had a cave-in.
Okay, they had a cave-in. And
so that has nothing to do with Obamacare either, so you're really...
Yeah, you're really hitting it out of the park now.
You know what? Before I lose it, and I mean really lose it, because tonight if I lose it, bodies may be found in the morning. I'll be gone. There'll be bodies here. The mic will still be on. A blood trail will lead out to the parking lot, and I'll be gone.
And the bodies are whose?
Three guesses.
Oh, my God.
Dude, that's a terrorist threat uttered post-9/11.
Well, there you go. Because if you guys bug me anymore... Tomorrow morning, the police will break in the door. They'll see the microphone still on. They'll hear tape hiss. You guys will be draped over the tables here. A blood trail leading out to what was once an automobile and is now just an empty parking space. And then maybe a faint news report from somewhere up around Tulare that I am holed up in a gas station restroom. How about that?
Right here.
I don't know why there, Bud, because maybe I had to pull over and go, and I decided to just sandbag the door.
What? In other words, you'll make your last stand in a filthy restroom. Good.
So I've got to get the kicks weird ways.
I ain't doing that to get my kicks. Okay, so...
Just move on. David's on the line.
Tell David to stick it. I don't want to talk to him right now. Welcome to our program, folks. Our number is 85... What, David?
Boy, what a way to start the show. I tune in. Obviously, Daphne's here. She's hungry, so we're...
So I'm hanging up on him, all right?
Well, then you're going to have to deal with that.
Well, I'm not listening to him. All right, Margaret, so what you wanted to do, and I got Ted Bell, I think, is going to come on the line with this. Margaret had an idea about redoing the theme to the Ted Bell commercial. Now,
Phil, don't say it as if it's a pain in the you-know-what. They did the theme that the Ted did... You're making it sound as if, oh, you know, what a hassle. You know?
Well, it is a hassle. Mr. Henry's got other stuff he want to do.
I'll talk to him about that, not you. Thank you very much. But you're making it sound like you don't even care, like it's all a big, fat hassle. You know?
Miss Gray, you want big, fat hassle?
Who?
You did. Your voice kind of cracked there.
My crack? What?
Never mind. All right, so here is the Ted Bell. Do we have Ted Bell? Is he on the line? Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills is joining us. Now, Ted, you've approved this?
I said I would listen to what she's got to say, okay? I said I'd listen to what she's got to say. Here is my jingle, all right? Somebody...
Ted of Beverly Hills.
Can we get Ted? Hold on for just a second. Turn that off. Turn that off because I've got Ted on one line. I got turn Ted's line off for just a second so we can hear this commercial. Here it is. Ted's of Beverly Hills. That ain't Ted's of Beverly Hills. Get the. Oh, man.
You really have got it together here tonight, don't you?
Hold on. Here's the jingle. God, man.
Ted, hello. You tell
Beverly
me about
Hills.
It.
Steakhouse, come on down.
All right, now, I want to say, Ted, if you're listening, I know Ted's on hold. We want to put our meat in your mouth. Listen. Now, listen how she sings.
Here at Ted's.
We want to put our meat in your mouth. All right, get Ted back on the line. He's on line three. Line three, bud. Line three, you jerk.
Oh, sorry.
Line three. Ted, you there?
I've been sitting here screaming into the phone. I've been screaming into the phone. Every time I hear somebody say, Ted, are you there? And I go, yes! Okay, is that what you want me to do? Phil, I got a full restaurant tonight, okay? As the recession is ending, as the economy is crawling out of the sewer it's been in, I've got a full restaurant for once in my life.
I'm sorry, Ted. I was asking if you were there.
I could hear you asking me. You couldn't hear me.
No, sir, because we were listening to the jingle.
Well, I heard that jingle. Now, I'm sorry to yell, but I gotta, I'm busy.
All right, I understand you're busy. Margaret, do you want to tell Ted what you have in mind?
Yes, Ted, this is what... You know how on the... I was thinking about this today as I was... just puttering around the house.
Uh-huh.
And I heard the Ted's of Beverly Hills jingle. Now it goes, we want to put our meat in your mouth. That's how it goes, right?
Yes, that is correct.
All right. I'd like it to go like this. Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth. Do you see how it mirrors? It mirrors very beautifully the preceding phrase.
I don't know. Say, do that again.
Instead of going, we want to put our meat in your mouth, we'd say, here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth. Wow!
I don't know. I mean, is that a joke or something? I liked it until you went, wow,
That is an exclamatory phrase.
I was about to ask the same question. Is that a joke?
No, it's not a joke. I take my singing seriously. You don't like it? I will take it out, but I will not be insulted. All right?
I'm sorry, Margaret. You went, we want to put our meat in your wow. I've got families out there,
What's this got to do with families?
When you say that you want to put your meat in someone's wow,
You've got a lot of guts with that commercial, we want to put our meat in your mouth, and you're telling me...
Can you hold on for... I knew this was going to happen. Okay.
Excuse me, Phil.
Give me the melody is what?
The melody goes like this. We want to put our meat in your mouth. See, I think it needs almost an anthem-esque ending. And the way it ends right now, we want to put our meat in your mouth, it almost sounds apologetic. And I think you need something, that Frank, I don't eat at Ted's of Beverly Hills, Phil. I wouldn't go near the place. Not because the food isn't good, but because it is just steak and meat and ribs and meat, it is carcinogenic. It is the decaying flesh of animals. In other words, it's the number one cause, I think, of rectal cancer. And we've got a very long line of that in our family.
I got to disagree with you, Margaret. Doctors are saying now that women do not get enough animal protein, and that's why they get things like breast cancer, okay?
I didn't say breast, I said rectal cancer. There's a lot of it in my family.
All right, well, I'm sorry to hear that,
Did I say rectal cancer?
Yes, you did, okay?
Oh, my God, so you think I get my kicks that way, huh?
I got to agree with Phil. You've said it about it, three or four times.
Hold on for just a moment. We have to take a break. We're on with Ted Bell, Margaret Gray, as she tries to rewrite the final phrase, not the lyric, but the melody of the Ted's of Beverly Hills commercial. Coming up, we still have... news analysis to do with Don Berman, and other stories to get to here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. There's radio, then there's the Phil Hendry Show, and, oh, man. In any event, maybe we ought to go out with the jingle here, going into the commercial break. What do you think? It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
We'll be right back, folks, after this.
We'll be right back.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. On the line with me, Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, Margaret Gray in studio as well here, and Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. But we're talking about the Ted's of Beverly Hills jingle, which I don't know how I agreed to opening the show with this, but I suppose I have.
I don't mind. I do have a very busy restaurant here.
Phil, Ted's, you've said that already. Phil agreed to this.
All right, so he agreed to it. So what are we doing?
You've got this, she sang that for you.
I heard it. I'm not convinced, you know.
I'm talking about this. He's a major sponsor. He's on your program all the time. We want to put our meat in your... No, wait, hold on. We want to put our meat in your mouth. Woo! Now, hold on for a minute.
Well, that is just, that's jive ass.
Hold on for a minute. What I'm saying is the following thing. You need to have some exclamatory statement there. That's all I'm saying.
An exclamatory statement.
Yeah, what does that mean?
What does it mean? It means that you need to have it lock out. Can I say something? That Ted Cruz, what happened to his face?
No, you got a real pair on you.
Hold on for a minute. We're not talking about that, okay?
No, I don't have a pair on me.
Well, we're talking about... Is this your excuse to do a thing on Ted Cruz? Because if you want to do a thing on Ted Cruz...
You want to do a thing on Ted Cruz? You better wear a nose guard. Ow!
I'll kill it.
Hold on for a minute.
You know, tell Dickman he deserved that.
Ted says you deserve that.
I didn't do anything.
Oh, now you're going to ball? I mean, you opened the door for her, man. You teed it up and she hit it out.
Oh, I did.
We heard what you said.
You say something like that again, Bud, and I swear to Almighty God is my witness, they'll never find a trace of you. Never. It'll be decades. And they'll say, what happened to Bud Dickman? Did they ever really find any trace evidence of him? And they'll say, yes, we think there was some DNA, but they had to sponge it up.
Oh, my God.
You're serious, aren't you?
Yes, I am serious.
All right, you've gotten that out of the way. So, what do you think, Ted?
We want to put our meat in your mouth. Is that what it is?
No, I'll do it one more time.
Thank God.
You know what? Both of you just... I hope both of you get rectal cancer. How does that feel?
Boy.
What did she say?
She said, are you leaving?
No, I'm going to the bathroom.
She's going to the bathroom.
Well, what else is there? What did she say?
She said she hopes both of us get rectal cancer.
Wow. Woo! All because I won't listen to you, you know.
I want to say one thing. Ted, my husband goes to your restaurant all the time. Frank's one of your best customers.
I didn't deny that. I don't deny that at all.
Well, then what was the meaning of that? You know, I've heard it already, and as long as this is the last time...
Margaret, I got things I got to do. I can't sit and listen to you rewrite the song, you know, that they sing.
The jingle?
Yeah, the jingle. I can't listen to that, you know, because I got to do stuff. Do it again.
Do what again?
Do the jingle again.
It goes, we want to put our meat in your mouth. That.
I don't, you know.
Forget it. And what I said about rectal cancer still...
That's great.
What is wrong with her?
You know what? You can't... Nothing, Margaret.
Are you talking about me?
No. Some people you can't...
Yeah, you know, I know what you mean. You know, because...
I'm listening in the bathroom. You just...
All right, anyway, Ted, thanks a lot.
Yeah, okay.
Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. He's got to get going, man.
Told you about that. He said he had to go, and he had a lot of people.
Great, great, fine. I know you told me. I'm the idiot that made the mistake of saying, sure, let's talk about the Ted's of Beverly Hills jingle. We want to put our meat in your mouth.
What do you think of that?
Actually, that's not bad. All right. Don Berman is going to join us here on news analysis of the whole government shutdown thing. We also have Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police later on tonight on the anniversary, the birthday of Yosemite, and how that's being portrayed in the news media. There's a lot of news media kind of stuff, you know, that's happening. Jacksonville International Airport, they had a news story here that there was a police-ordered evacuation because they found a suspicious package or two, and so they had to, evacuate the airport. You know, even with Bin Laden dead, and I used to say when I would stand in line there waiting to take my shoes off, and I say that with a bit of a sarcastic tone because it just seems silly. If you're standing there, you're waiting to take your shoes off, you reflect on the idiocy of what it must look like. And maybe you have to be an individual that remembers traveling without taking your shoes off. Maybe that's it. But in any event, I used to say to people, boy, if Bin Laden were watching this, well, of course he's dead now, but were he alive and he was seeing that, he'd probably be laughing his ass off. I mean, no wonder the guy was one of the last shots that we've got of this guy is a videotape of him just going around the television, just channel surfing, looking for any and all mentions of himself, pictures of himself, news that he created or news that affects him. He wanted to get it all, man.
Yeah, you want to sit there and be all, if Obama bin Laden, or not Obama.
Yeah, his name is Osama, man.
I know. Osama bin Laden, and you want to be about him.
Yeah, I mean, he was looking to see all these pictures, you know, where's me? And so if he ever fell across a picture of people standing in line at an airport taking their shoes off and having their crotches checked or whatever the hell it is, you know, standing there with the arms above the head, which now nobody cares. You remember when it was all about don't touch my junk and this kind of stuff? Now people are whatever, you know? We're a country. No wonder football is such a popular sport in America, because football is an emotional sport, and the emotions in football change by the second, and that's kind of America. You know, by the second, all of a sudden something is just huge, you know, and the next thing, you know, like nobody even remembers. And I remember when that whole thing about, how are you going to pat me down, or what are you going to do? And they were worried about the x-ray machines. I mean, I walked through the x-ray machine a couple times, and hell, I don't give a damn, man. I don't care now. You know, what am I supposed to do? Not fly? You know, I take a bus? I mean, you know, there's my hands are above my head there. You can take a look all you want. You know, get your kicks. What do I care? And, of course, the real complaint was coming from women, I think. Margaret, are you...
Yes, I'm back. Thank you. And thank you for replacing the toilet paper, Bud. You didn't have to get scented toilet paper.
That's what you wanted.
No, I just said get new toilet paper that's thicker. I've told you I need a good, hearty toilet paper. I've told you this, haven't I?
You told me, Miss Grace.
Well, did you tell him?
No, I forgot to. I got 3-ply.
Well, you don't have to... Are we on the air?
Yes, we're on the air.
Good God. I just want to say one thing. I need the 4-in-1.
What?
I need 4...
She needs 4-ply.
How dare you?
Oh, come on, will you? We're on the air. You're talking about the toilet paper you need.
Just remember, Bud, I need a good, thick, sturdy, hearty toilet paper. If you can get construction paper.
You gotta be kidding.
About what?
Construction paper?
Phil, it doesn't make me some butch dyke, okay? I'm just... Shut your hole. When you go get toilet paper, just get good, thick... Get the paper towel.
Yes, ma'am.
I thought that we had paper towels in there.
Well, can we stop talking about this?
Margaret, you walked out of there and started in on how come the toilet paper is, you know, thank you for getting toilet paper, but I don't want it scented, you know.
I would rather have a good, strong 3-ply or 4-ply paper towel / washcloth.
Good God! What do you need in there, anyway?
Don't make it sound like a big deal.
What about a beach towel?
That'd be good.
Are you telling me, I just want to be, are you wiping with a beach towel?
You know what, I'm getting...
Now she's leaving again.
We didn't talk about that, Mr. Henry.
Talk about what, man? And she's, you guys are the ones, no more discussion of toilet paper. You understand? No more discussion of toilet paper, okay?
You brought it up.
No, I didn't bring it up. You did.
I came out, I said, no more scented toilet paper.
would a beach towel be okay? Sure, that's fine. All right, when we come back, Don Berman's going to join us from Channel 19 News. And I actually posted the link to healthcare.gov just because I wanted to be helpful. I didn't want to cause a problem. I wanted to be helpful because the thing of it is there's something like 80% of the American people aren't even really sure what is in the Affordable Care Act. They don't really know because the thing has been discussed, and it hasn't even really been discussed so much as it's been misrepresented by both sides in a lot of ways. And so the American people are sitting there sort of confused and not, you know, they're not really sure. of what it is they're looking at. So I said, well, look at here. Let's post the link. I put the link on our Facebook page. And there's people even they're resenting the fact that the link to healthcare.gov is up. I mean, these people are pissed off. Like on Fox News, I heard a story where Fox News thinks it's cheerleading if you tell people where the link is and how to use it. I mean, come on. There's people actually want to use this link. They want to see if they can get health care. I mean, what the hell's the story? We'll be right back here. World famous Phil Henry Show. At number 855-500-7445 and philhenryshow.com. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And coming up on Saturday, the 5th, I think it's the 5th, we are going to be at the LA Podcast Festival. What's the date today? The 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th. Yeah, we'll be at the LA Podcast Festival, or the LA, as they call it, Podfest. And you're welcome to come, man. In fact, we have a link on our homepage, philhenryshow.com. If you go to the story that says, join Bobby Dooley at the LA Podfest on April the 5th, there's a link on that particular post, and you can check out where the tickets is and how you get in and all that stuff, you know.
You get paid, too?
Am I what?
Are you getting paid, too?
That's a very good question. Are you getting paid?
No, I'm not being paid.
And yet they're charging money for people to get in?
Yeah, you know.
What about you getting paid?
Some things you just do because it's a promotional effort for your show, you know.
So someone's making out with oh, God. What do you think of Alec Baldwin being on MSNBC?
Will you stick to one question here?
Sorry. So some people are making money on the LA Podfest, but you're not.
I am promoting the show. I'm helping Bobby promote her podcast. Don't get me thinking too much about this, or I'm liable to get pissed off, okay?
Yeah, I'll be pissed off. They're charging money. You don't get none.
Look, it's a festival that someone put together so that people can promote their podcasts, okay?
Do you really care about promoting your podcast? Yes or no?
Yes, I do, yeah.
To the point where you want to work for free?
I am willing to do what I have to do. Look, Margaret, some days we just do the stuff we have to do. If it's working for free, then you're working for free. You know, but the fact is the PodFest is it was the idea of some guy. In fact, Bobby's going to be interviewing him, so maybe I'll have Bobby ask him why he's not paying Phil Henry. How about that?
That'd be a great question.
But the guy that founded the Podcast Festival realized there were a whole bunch of people that had podcasts and that they would want to promote their podcasts, and so he put together a podcast festival, you know.
And charge them money.
Didn't charge them anymore. Who's charged? I don't know. I'm not having to pay to get there, I'll tell you that.
Well,
look, it don't start pissing me off with a bunch of questions here that I don't want to ponder, all right? I'm going to be at the LA, as I was saying, folks.
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm going to be at the LA Podfest. It'll be on the 5th. Bobby Dooley will be with me, and we'll have a lot of fun. So there you have that. Thank you. All right. Anyway, our number is 855-500-7445. Don't forget, we're online at philhenryshow.com. It's philhenryshow.com right now. Live streaming video of our show, the video cast. And, of course, inherent in that is to say that we also have live streaming audio of the show. So you can check that out at philhenryshow.com. With a backstage pass, you not only get to listen to and watch our show as it is being broadcast or podcast or webcast or videocast or however the hell you want to call it, live, you can get that, and you can also, of course, enjoy the podcast the next day of our radio show, as well as the archives of full radio shows that go back over 15 years. It's all there, close to 5,000 hours of some of the best radio that you ever heard in your life at philhenryshow.com. All right, Don Berman joining us from Channel 19 News, and Don, you had an interesting day of reporting the news over there at Channel 19, as did so many other news-gathering agencies. I know you're taking a dinner break right now. Tell me, how was the day? How are you guys spinning, if you will, the whole government shutdown thing?
Well, first of all, so we don't spin anything. When we're doing news, we have to be as objective as we can.
Yeah, but be honest. I mean, there's every single newsroom in America has got some editorial slant.
No. I mean, you're right. As a private citizen, of course, I have my own personal views. But I am very, very objective when I report. The only thing that we had to correct And this was me having to correct something, and this was, I don't think, biased reporting so much as we had to correct the perception that we want the Tea Party to be properly reflected, I think, in the news reporting. And so while I am a Tea Party fan, I try to be unbiased in my reporting, and I felt that the Tea Party was treated rather savagely by the news media today, and that the Tea Party was blamed for quite a bit of what happened yesterday, the shutting down of the government. And I'll give you an example here, Phil. The can this government be saved? This was the article that I think you were referring to.
There's an article in USA Today that says, "Can this government be saved?" And it goes on to talk about how this Congress has the lowest approval rating in quite some time, 13% approval rating of the United States Congress. Then it just goes on to talk about the gridlock and so on and so forth. So, it's not a very, very flattering article, and it does really pretty much have a it pretty much has a negative series of statements about the Tea Party. Now, if you're a newsman...
I'm a newsman, and so I'm objective. And as an objective reporter, I have to say, objectively, that the Tea Party has tried as the best way it knows how to save this country from the cataclysm of Barack Obama and his, you know, his just, his, I don't know what you call it, his, the knucklehead agenda.
See, that, you call that unbiased.
I call that I absolutely do call it unbiased. I'm being as objective as I can.
Would you call Barack Obama's agenda knucklehead? How's that unbiased?
It's not. It's completely unbiased. It is absolutely straight ahead reporting.
You're using the term knucklehead. Did I hear you say that?
Yes, you did hear me say that.
And you call that unbiased?
I call that absolute objective reporting.
Do you use that term on the air?
I used the term when I was talking about the agenda, the Barack Obama agenda. I said was harebrained. I didn't say knucklehead because I think it's a little juvenile, but I think it probably was very accurate. But the harebrained and the nitwit.
So you said nitwit.
There are times. Can I just say something, Margaret, without being interrupted, please?
No, I want to know the words that you're using. You call this unbiased reporting.
Absolutely unbiased.
And so nitwit and harebrained is objective.
Yes, it's objective. It's objective reporting on the Obama health care plan that is a nit... It's... What I'm doing as a reporter is I am being unbiased.
Okay, Don, is this unbiased if I say that I think you are a dumbass?
Is that unbiased? That's absolutely the most biased thing you could... You're calling me that to my face?
If I said it behind your back, if I said it on the air and you weren't here, if I said that Don Berman is a dumbass, is that unbiased?
What's it based on?
Based on listening to you, you sound like a dumbass.
I would say that not only is biased, it is hateful and borders on hate speech.
Are you trying to tell me that there's something racist in what Mr. Henry said?
I didn't say racist. I said it's hate speech.
Why? Why is that hate speech? If you say that Barack Obama is harebrained and a nitwit and has got a knucklehead agenda...
I didn't say knucklehead.
You said you didn't say it on the air.
You said you didn't say it... That's right, I didn't say it on the air. God, take it easy, will you, Phil? Everything's so dramatic with you.
Did you say that you thought he had a knucklehead agenda?
I did, yes.
Why don't the two of you calm down?
No, wait a minute. He said...
Why don't the two of you calm the hell down?
Wow. I mean...
What's the matter, Don? You don't have a woman talking to you like that regularly?
No, as a matter of fact, I don't.
Well, consider this a first, then.
All right, well, calm down. But, I mean, the question remains. Didn't you say Obama had a knucklehead agenda?
Not on the air, I didn't. I said, off the air, I think he's a knucklehead, but that is not on the air.
On the air, you say he has a harebrained nitwit agenda.
Yes.
And you call that objective?
I call that objective because it's based upon objective reporting. If you look at me and you say Don Berman is a dumbass, what are you basing that on?
Because of your opinions,
What opinions are those?
If I was watching your newscast and I heard you say that Barack Obama is a nitwit and harebrained, okay?
I didn't say that. I said he had a nitwit and harebrained agenda. God, would you please, in the name of God, listen to the things that I'm saying? See, right now I'm doubly angry, and I apologize to you, Phil, but Chris Matthews is being interviewed by Lawrence O'Donnell, by his own wife, for a book that he wrote called Tip and the Gipper. Now, Chris Matthews is such a complete ego cloud. He's not just an egotist. He's the cloud of ego. He is a mountain of ego. Chris Matthews is a weather system of ego. And he can't, his ego is so huge that he dragged his wife out of her bedroom slippers and bathrobe, dragged her down to the station here so she could interview him. Now he's bothering Lawrence O'Donnell on his show. You see what I mean?
What does this have to do with your opinion and your reporting on Obamacare?
Because I thought I would take some time to talk about me for a change. Just talk about me.
Don?
Hold on. Just talk about me. I'm talking about me. Okay? And all you got to say is, what's this got to do with Obamacare?
Yeah, Don, that's what we're talking about, though.
I know. And I thought I would, for 5 seconds, talk about me and the things that I dream about.
Did you hang it up?
Oh, I'm still here. Okay. I heard, don't you have to go to a break?
Yes, we do, as a matter of fact. Let's take a break.
If I had a nickel for every time one of your guests sounds like he's about ready to bust out crying...
Yeah, no kidding.
I'd be a multimillionaire.
What is it with him?
I don't know. He just wants to talk about me.
You?
No, him.
Well, he said me.
Me meaning him?
Yes.
Was he saying that,
No, you seem pretty level-headed and he had everything balanced out and everything. Like, he's healthy, but you never know.
I want to talk about me. All right, we'll be back with Don Berman, which I no doubt he's listening to us on hold right now, so when we do come back to him, he'll rip me an ass for talking about him off the air like I just did. Or at least off the phone. Our number, 855-500-7445, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. As we discuss here, really what we're getting to here, sooner or later, is the coverage of Obamacare in the news. Now, Don says he's an objective reporter, and it just so happens... Yes, that he's a Tea Party fan, but he is very, very objective with his reporting, and that's why he says objectively that Obama is a nitwit, harebrained, and that his agenda is knucklehead.
Jesus. Well, but you said that Don Berman is the lowest scum on earth. That's objective, isn't it?
No, that's not objective. I did say that Don was a dumbass, and he doesn't think that's objective either. We'll be right back as we discuss objective reporting, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don Berman from Channel 19 News on the line with us. Margaret Gray here, and we're talking about the unbiased, or biased, if you will, reporting. You know, every news gathering agency, it seems, in this country, Don, has an axe to grind, has an editorial opinion, has an editorial policy that makes its way prominently into its reporting. It's no longer limited to the editorial page.
Well, you're not going to hear that on Channel 19 News. That's the point that I'm trying to make. I've been in this news business, Phil.
No, you just said that you call Obama...
Hold on. I've been in the news business for a long time, and I've weathered quite a bit. I just saw a news article here, Phil. USA Today, this was the article that you showed me. And I'm looking at a picture, and it shows the members of the Tea Party caucus, or the Conservative Congressional Caucus, lined up, ready with their jackets off and their notebooks in front of them, ready to sit down and then build a consensus with the Democrats. And there are no Democrats sitting there. And I thought that that was a wonderful picture until I realized the context. It was designed to make the Republicans look like real silly, to use the terminology of the kids, a bunch of asshat, I don't know, you know.
Well, no, we don't know. What do you mean?
What are you talking about?
What am I talking about? Have you seen the picture?
I saw the picture, and I read the article very carefully. Now, yes, the Republicans do look ridiculous, sitting there waiting to negotiate over something that's already been negotiated, on a bill that has already been passed.
Well, hold on for just a minute. You say the bill has been passed. We're talking about Obamacare now. Which one are you talking about? There's the Affordable, and I know that it's the same thing, the Affordable Care Act and Obamacare, so don't try and make me look like some chimpanzee on that one. I already know that.
Well, then what are you asking?
About what?
When you said which one are you talking about?
I am talking about Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act, but I know that it's the same one. Do you?
Yes, I know.
No, I'm talking to Margaret.
Yes, Don, I know. So we can move past that now. We know it's this. This is not the Jimmy Kimmel Show.
Well, that's for sure. Boy.
Okay, Don. Very, very good. Nice shot. The point that I'm making here and that Margaret's trying to make is if you are unbiased and you are objective in your reporting and you are upset that the Republicans are made to look like asshats in a USA Today article...
I didn't say asshat. I wouldn't report it like that. They are made to look like... the what I would say on the air is that the Republicans have been made to look like a bunch of monkeys, which is...
Well, don't you have a command of the English language?
Yes, I... Boy, what an insulting question.
Then why aren't you saying what do the Republicans look like?
I said they look like a bunch of... You know, ass. Just ass. It looks...
They look like ass.
I am telling both of you that the biased reporting around this issue is rampant, except on the Don Berman Channel 19 News. That's what I'm trying to say to you. And yes, I'm a Tea Party fan, and yes, I vote in a very conservative way, and yes, I admire all of these people, but I don't betray that. And you keep trying to make it sound like I do, Phil. I said that Obama had a nitwit agenda because, objectively, that's what it looks like.
Well, objectively, that's, you know, objectively. How do you educate me, Phil Hendry? What is that on my face? Do you see that, bud?
Looks like it's a freckle or something.
Let me see here. Give me a tissue and some water, bud. I'm going to wipe it off.
Ew, don't do that.
Are you guys talking to me, or are you fooling around with his face?
Excuse me, I'm wiping something off of Phil's face. Here, give me a tissue.
Ew, God!
What?
Don't lick your finger.
Hold still.
Ew! God, she licked his face.
Oh, my Christ.
Why'd you lick my face?
It's the only way to get it off. You're such a little boy, Phil. Just sit there for Mommy.
Yeah, okay, Mom.
God, you've got a real thing about older women, don't you?
No, not quite.
No, I mean in a bad way. You've got a real repulsion. What, do you think I'm going to come at you with my robe open?
I've got to get off the air here. If this is what you're going to be talking about, I want no part of it. I can tell you that right now.
All right, then, Margaret,
Are we going to be talking about... I just wiped something off of Phil's face because he doesn't use a napkin. Okay?
Yeah, looked like a glob of mayonnaise.
Ow!
Little punk, I'll belt your...
You'll belt his what?
Sounded very quasi-sexual, Phil.
All right, let's get back on track here. Before the whole hour goes to hell in a handcart like they usually do, thank you very much.
Don't look at me when you say that.
That's exactly what I'm looking at. Don Berman with us from Channel 19 News.
No, that's the only thing you say in these hours that makes sense. So that's Don Berman with us, Channel 19 News, Don Berman with us. And we never really do get to anything substantial. I mean, that's all I'm trying to say, Phil. I am here on your program. I'm not trying to save your show. I would never say that I'm trying to save your show, but I am trying, in some instances, it does feel as if I am giving it some kind of almost, shouldn't say this, but I'm lipping it and trying to breathe life into it. Hold on. How you doing? I'm fine, yeah. Hey, I'm sorry. Just kidding.
Is that L. Ron Martin?
Yeah, it's, hi, Mr. Martin. Hey, don't let me interrupt. I just get a... Yo, you want to get this? Just gives a cop.
Boy, you really rule the roost over there at Channel 19 News, man, with L. Ron Martin coming in and butting in every time he wants to.
The guy, the espresso machine's here.
Well, why don't you move that thing into L. Ron Martin's office?
Because he wants it here, all right? L. Ron Martin doesn't make a move without me saying... Well, wait a second. Nothing at all.
Uh-huh.
I need one more. Yes, sir. Hey, let me ask you something. Would you bring these back to my... I know you're on the air right now, and I don't want to bother you, Don, but would you bring these back? Yes, sir, I will.
You got to do what?
Well, shut up.
Tell me to shut up.
I got to bring the coffee back to his office.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, well, you go right ahead and you do that. All right, and you got to go out and get him lunch, too?
What a you, both of you. You talk about rectal cancer. I hope it skips a generation, Margaret, and hits you right about now. This is Don Burke.
What did he say?
You heard him. I'm not going to repeat it.
You know, Don Martin, or Don Berman, whatever his name is, it ought to be Martin. It ought to be Mrs. L. Rod Martin because of the way that that man is around that other man.
What?
You heard me.
Well, he's obviously very upset. And Don, if I know you aren't hearing this because you're too busy getting Mr. L. Ron Martin his espresso, but let me just say this. You pal, man, you're all messed up. Okay, next hour we got...
What does that mean?
It means that, first of all, Don, you're a crap can reporter, and second of all, L. Ron Martin, I mean, you're never really going to find your way out of the L. Ron Martin doghouse or whatever it is, out of the L. Ron Martin dog collar. You're that and more. All right, we'll be back next hour. We have Jay Santos with us talking about Yosemite, 125 years old, and some of the stories that have been floated, some of the stories that have been planted, some of the stories that have been coincidentally turning up on this, the 125th anniversary of Yosemite. You know, the Yosemite is 125 years old, and I don't even know if I've ever been there.
I beg your pardon?
I don't know if I've ever been there. I mean, I've been in forests, and I've been in trees, and I've been...
Yeah, I've been to Yosemite.
I don't know, man. All right, anyway, it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Welcome here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, hour two, here on this Tuesday night, and... Good to have you with us. We've got Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. He'll be with us here in just a second. Jay's going to talk about the 125th anniversary of Yosemite. That's kind of cool. Yosemite National Park, a place of great beauty and obviously a place that so many people, Americans and others, have spent some enjoyable hours, if not days and weeks. A beautiful place. A place that I, to be honest with you, I don't know if I've ever been to Yosemite. I grew up in California, and I've camped all of my life. My father was a guy that liked to camp.
Did you guys went camping with your dad?
Yeah, we did. And we went camping and we went fishing, that kind of stuff.
Well, you didn't go to the mountain. Where did you go camping?
Well, we camped at lakes.
See, that's it. Did your father go up into the mountains?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we went to the mountains. I mean, my dad, but when we camped, it wasn't about going up in the mountains.
Did you own a cabin? Did you have any kind of a cabin?
Yeah, did you have a cabin?
No, we did not have a cabin.
Did you have a cabin?
No, what's the big deal with having a cabin?
Hold on. I'm sorry, Phil, but you know I'm not going to shred my esophagus.
Yeah, I know all about that, Margaret. You and the belches.
You know, you make a big deal out of it. You could just let it... In any event... So you didn't have a cabin. That's interesting.
Yeah.
What's interesting about us not having a cabin?
Usually, upper to middle to upper middle class whites. Well,
we weren't upper to middle class whites. We were middle class.
That's what I said. Upper to middle class.
What does that mean, upper to middle class?
It means upper class all the way on down to middle class.
Well, okay. I mean...
So you didn't have a cabin?
No, we did not have a cabin. We didn't have a cabin. We didn't have a cabin.
Did you have a trailer?
No, we didn't have a trailer. What difference does it make whether we had a trailer or whether we had a cabin?
See, no one can talk to you, Phil.
What difference? I'm asking, what does it mean?
Now, see, that's what you do, mister. You go ba 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 ba.
Yeah, you ain't talking good.
What does it mean?
It doesn't mean anything. I'm just asking. Most of the cabins and trailers and things like that reflect an ability to go up to a mountain, that's all.
All right.
Phil, don't give me the squinched eye look, you know, like I'm some kind of a weird ass. Because you just did the eyes where you went, huh, like that?
Yeah.
I hate that.
Okay.
I didn't, all I'm saying is, never mind.
Yeah, there we go, never mind. That's Margaret for you. All I'm saying, and then never mind.
You're not going to listen, I'm wasting my words.
Margaret, I still don't understand. I'll tell you this. We went to the beauty of nature. I don't remember us going necessarily to, quote, mountains. We went to campsites, and we fished, you know.
So you went to a campsite, and you immediately fished, and there was nothing else in your life other than let's go fish?
Yeah, there was other things. You know, we hung out, you know.
Like what?
What is this all of a sudden?
Well, what are you afraid of? What did you do when you camped that you don't want to tell us about?
Are you... You got to be kidding, right? You must be kidding.
Well, I mean, what'd you do?
Whatever you do when you camp, okay? We camped.
Yeah, okay, so you lit a fire.
Did you light a fire?
Yeah, we lit a fire. We lit a fire, we had a tent, we slept in sleeping bags.
You went fishing.
We went fishing.
What else?
What do you mean, what business is it of yours?
So all of a sudden your camping expeditions were... See, what I'm getting at is this, Phil.
Yeah, you better tell me real fast, because I got another guest that's waiting on this bullcrap.
Oh, it's bullcrap, is it? I'm getting to something very... Last hour, I wanted to sing We Want to Put Our Meat in Your Mouth. If you laugh...
Watch it.
Tell him not to laugh when I... I don't like it when he laughs. I don't like it. Last hour, and now this hour, I'm asking about camping. Okay?
Yes.
What did you do other than fish?
We played cards.
Cards?
Yeah, you played... When I was a kid, man, there wasn't... I mean, you had radio. Maybe you could take a little portable TV if you had a place to plug it in. That was it, man. With no computer, it was nothing, okay? We had a radio, so we listened to the radio. And we played cards. And we hiked, you know.
Ah, there you go. There's something. You hiked. Now, when you hike in the woods, you have to go up in a mountain, or what's the... I don't understand.
No, you can be on a flat thing
A flat thing?
Yeah, on a flat piece of... What are you trying to get at here anyway?
I'm saying, did you go into the mountains? You said no. What did you do when you camped? You said we fished and we played cards and we hiked. Now, when you hike, you're hiking. I don't know anything about it because I've never been camping.
All right. Right away, that gives me a whole lot of information. You don't know what you're asking.
Yes, I do know what I'm asking. I've been a journalist all my life. Did you hike up into mountains, yes or no?
You know, I don't like the whole yes or no.
Mr. Holland's on the phone.
Oh, man, I'm going to kick some ass, I swear to God. Yeah, David, what do you want?
I just want to know the answer to questions so you can move on, okay? Now, she's got these questions she said she wanted to ask you about whether you hiked or not.
I said I hiked.
He said he hikes.
I asked him, where did he hike to?
Where did you hike to?
We hiked wherever you hiked to.
See, David, my point is, if there are no mountains, how do you hike when it's just flat? What is that?
That's a good point. What is that about?
What do you mean, what is it about? You're hiking through the forest.
When have you ever hiked on flat ground?
When I hiked in Florida. How about that?
When you hiked in Florida? You don't hike in Florida. What do you mean? What are you talking about?
You're talking about hiking in Florida.
Yes, there's the Florida Trail.
Oh, the Florida Trail. Well, that's the famous Florida Trail, right? Right?
See you later, David.
Oh, come on, man. She's getting donuts, and I don't...
All right. Thanks very much, Margaret.
Oh, see, you don't want...
No, I don't want to answer your questions. I've hiked on flat ground. Yes, I have. And when we went to lakes, as a matter of fact, we went to mountains. They were up in the mountains, the lakes that we went to.
Oh, all of a sudden they were up in mountains.
No, not all of a sudden. They always were up in mountains. I just don't remember making a big point out of going to a mountain to go fishing. We'd say, let's go fishing. Oh, where are we going? Going to a lake. Is it up in some mountains? You know?
Well, I didn't think you'd go, is it up in some mountains? I just thought, I'm just wondering, do you remember going up? Do you remember elevation? Do you remember your ears getting plugged up?
No, I don't. I do remember us going up, because as I remember, there was some snow sometimes, okay? But I don't remember us going up. The first time I remember going up, I mean, we would do that when I was a kid, hiking around where I grew up, Arcadia. There were mountains up there.
Did you camp up there?
No, we didn't. We went up there for picnics.
Why didn't you camp?
You want me to kick some ass right now? Because I'm ready to go, man.
Well, what do you want to kick ass? Well, why didn't you camp up there?
We didn't camp, man, because it was like 30 minutes away from my house.
So that means what?
It means I ain't going to camp there. I'm going to go home to my house and sleep.
Well, I don't...
You know, you guys are real weird, man. Everybody knows that. But how weird, we're only just now beginning to see the outlines of it. You know?
Oh, so in other words, I'm something like some kind of a freak in the Hubble telescope. Is that it?
Yeah, treat me like that.
That's the way I'm treating you. All three of you, Robert, you included.
I didn't do anything.
Yeah, you did. You're talking, you're asking questions just like her. Oh, did you go camping? Did you go up in the mountains to go camping? Hey, you went up the mountain? Why didn't you camp out there? Because it's 30 minutes away?
Why didn't you? The guy said it.
That's right. I grew up in the San Gabriel Mountains, okay?
Well, good for you, you're mountain people. Wow.
Yeah. Come and listen to a story about a man named...
Get out of here. Ain't no hillbilly man.
Well, you grew up in the mountains, didn't you?
Grew up in the foothills. That's all I have to say about that. All right, we'll be right back. Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. What a waste of time. Valuable, precious time.
What are you going to do anyway?
Good point. Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police coming up next here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Coming up on Sunday, the return of Ted Bell and Steve Bozell's Pro Football Game of the Week, baby. Yes, that's right. Ted Bell, the owner of Ted's of Beverly Hills, and Steve Bozell, the crybaby from Corona, California. The two of them together, as they do, the Pro Football Game of the Week at philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and check it out every Sunday afternoon. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. As we mentioned this Sunday, we have the Pro Game of the Week. We also have the L.A. Podfest on Saturday at, 4 o'clock? Bobby Dooley and myself will be at the L.A. Podfest. So get a ticket, get two tickets, get a whole block of seats, whatever, and come out and see the Podfest. See Bobby. You got Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police from the South Bay of Los Angeles here tonight. Jay, welcome to the program.
Hey, Phil, how are you doing?
I'm very, very good. You taking the night off?
Well, to the point, we can take the night off, Phil. The Citizens Auxiliary Police doesn't ordinarily take the night off. You know, we've got a lot to do, but we're very happy to be taking the night off, you know.
So you're taking the... So you're not... You're kind of half in, half out.
No, we're taking the night off, but we're... Kind of, yeah.
You're taking the night off?
I already asked him, okay?
I'm telling you, we're not taking the night off, no. We're on it. I'm just at home right now.
You're not taking the night off.
Well, we are taking the night off.
Okay, never mind.
Well, what is he saying? Do you have the night off or don't you?
Never mind. Jay, it's nice to be with you.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to confuse nothing.
No, you didn't confuse anything. You're there and you're on call.
Yeah, we're pretty much on call for anything. As you know, we are not... we formed the Citizens Auxiliary Police a way to sort of take a peek over the shoulder of the regular police to make sure that they're on it. You know, we respect our police. We feel they do a pretty decent job. I mean, we're like a lot of people. We wish they might cut down on the donut stops overnight, you know, that kind of, but what are you going to do, you know? And so...
That's kind of unfair, but I don't want to get in an argument with you about it.
I don't want to argue either, Phil. The fact is, though, we have probably a little bit better understanding of how law enforcement works. So, but nonetheless.
All right, fine. The 125th anniversary of Yosemite, and this is a really special birthday, I think. The National Park System is a phenomenal attribute, I think, of government at a time. Where we criticize government, what's it ever done, what can it do, what's it ever done right, which is a redundant and truly a stupid question if anybody ever really actually studied history or the history of government. I'm not saying the government's perfect, but the Citizens Auxiliary Police, looking at the 125th birthday of Yosemite, what do you guys, as a independent band of security or law enforcement people, what do you take away from that?
Well, the thing that I noticed, Phil, is we look through news reporting on different events, and we try to ensure that event is respected, and not just from the standpoint of you know, giving it respect. We want to make sure that there's no security risk. I saw a couple articles on a cave-in, and there was a hiker that fell down and fell about 100 feet down and off of a trail. I'm not talking about... I know that there was another one that had... It was very, very bad, that involved a fatality. I'm not talking about those, but I am talking about on any given day, you're going to hear about a hiker who unfortunately is going to have some serious calamity strike him. And we think it's unfair for that kind of thing to appear in the news when there is so much good news to report having to do, for instance, with a national park. I'll give you an example about that. The movie that had the story of that poor young man who got his arm caught in a boulder and had to unfortunately cut his whole arm off. That was in an article, I think it was still playing, or might be on pay-per-view if I'm not mistaken, but it was an article, local paper, on a very day that Yosemite is having 125th anniversary. And I called up, now I know it's not a big thing, but I called up the paper.
What paper was this?
Well, it's one of the South Bay papers down here, the Bulletin, I think. What's the name of the paper, Danny? Danny, what's the name of the paper we saw the guy that cut the arm off? South Bay Bulletin, Phil.
Okay.
I called him up. I said, well, all right, I understand. You know, good for you. Kudos. You know, you got your shot in.
Now, what does that mean, they got their shot in?
Well, I think that there are, in the middle of this budget battle, having to do with government, non-government, like it, don't like it, won't do this, won't do that, there's people taking their shots at government spending. And when you have an ad in there for pay-per-view about a guy that cut the arm off and, you know, it's Yosemite, see what I'm saying? So,
well, I mean, it seems like you're drawing a connection there. You know, I heard a lady say the other night on TV, when she was told once to connect the dots, she said, how do you do that when the whole page is black? What that means is there are so many dots to connect that sometimes there's no dots to connect. The page happens to be black, you know.
Well, so I'm not imagining that. I mean, look.
Well, you're not imagining that you saw the ad. This is Margaret Gray, Jay.
Yeah.
You know who I am, right?
Yeah, no, I know who you are.
Well, then how are you?
I'm fine, but...
See, I've been getting a whole lot. Every time I say, hi, I'm Margaret, I get, yeah, uh-huh, yeah.
Are you not a fan of Margaret's?
I am not the biggest, no.
Margaret, you're going to have people reacting that way.
No, I understand that, but every time I come on and I say, hi, this is Margaret, I get, yeah, uh-huh. It's very rude.
I'm sorry, Ms. Gray. How are you?
I'm fine, and I know that that's disingenuous.
Well, but I don't know what you want me to say.
Never mind. Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah.
Well, I already heard the yeah.
Just what do you want to ask him?
I want to ask this. When you talk about a man gnawing his arm off, what is he talking about?
I didn't say he gnawed his arm off.
Didn't gnaw his arm. It was the guy that cut his arm. He was a hiker.
It was a movie that was with Danny on a DeFranco.
No, James Franco is the actor.
Oh, The 128 Hours. Is that the one?
I don't know, man, but it was a movie about a guy who had to cut an arm off. I think it was his arm.
Yes, it was his arm.
All right, he cut his arm off.
He cut his own arm off, yeah.
All right, I didn't know. I knew that he was responsible for severing an arm so that it could get out of the boulder.
No, he cut his own arm off so he could get out from the boulder.
So it's not to get the arm out.
No, he, I know the story. I haven't seen the movie.
Well, the movie is about a guy...
But let me just tell you what it's about. It's about a guy who had his arm caught in a boulder, and it was wedged in somehow, this boulder being so heavy, and apparently this man had fallen, or otherwise had some calamity affect him or strike him, that he was caught. This poor man was physically trapped in this predicament, physically, and so he had to, unfortunately, in order to save his own life, he had to do the unthinkable for most of us. He had to literally sever one of his limbs. He cut his own arm off. Okay, and you're saying that this film appearing on pay-per-view on the 125th anniversary of Yosemite does what?
I think, Phil, for some of this is fairly obvious. I think what it does is it casts a decidedly negative view of Yosemite and places where there's nature and where you would hike and enjoy the beauty of the nature that's around you and enjoy the beauty of the birds and the different wildlife, and you're talking about lakes and going fishing and those kind of things. And I think it sort of ruins it to tell people about a guy, you know, this man, as you say, Phil, is a very unfortunate calamity of a guy getting falling and have his arm cut and have his arm wedged. And I think what it does is I take a second thought. If it was me and I want to go to Yosemite or any place that's nature, I would have second thoughts about wanting to go in case I am struck with the same kind of misfortune that Mr. Franco, or not Franco, but...
That's the actor that played him.
And who is the real guy?
Yes, what was the real man's name?
I don't know.
Well, probably Franco, or not Franco, you just make one up.
I don't really want to make one up, Bud, if that's okay with you.
Well, what does that mean?
It makes difference to me, okay?
Phil, for the purposes of this interview, let's just call him Bob Blow. Not Bob Blow, but...
Just call him Jerry. Jerry. I don't know.
Let's just say the guy, okay? Because we've had three shots at making up a name, and I got Jab Jerry, Bob Blow. How about Bill Smith?
There's too many Bill Smiths.
How about if his name is Margaret Gray?
Are you trying to be cute?
All right. We won't make the name up then, okay?
Well,
no, we won't make any name up. So this gentleman who had this unfortunate accident, you're afraid people are automatically going to think, I don't want to go to Yosemite because I'm going to fall and get my arm wedged in a boulder.
I don't know what they're going to think, whether they're going to get their arm wedged or not. But I think it is a decidedly negative piece of advertising that goes up against a great day, Phil. If you go through any given day on the anniversary of any national park, when, for instance, the Cumberland Trail, which goes through some of the most beautiful national forests that this country has to offer, and you're looking at the anniversary of the Cumberland Trail, which they had about 5 years ago in Maryland and Kentucky and some of these areas, and you also have on television the late night advertising for Friday the 13th, where there's a cabin, you know.
All right, so you're getting into these horror movies, and...
Well, yeah, I'm just saying, is this respectful?
Hold on, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We're going to be back with Jay here in just a moment as he continues discussing with us the anniversary of Yosemite and the fact that while this was being announced, we saw in the newspaper, or he did anyway, an advertisement for the film about the guy who had to cut his arm off that was wedged in a boulder. Does this affect people's desire to visit Yosemite? Would it affect your desire to go to a national park if that same day you saw an ad in the paper for Friday the 13th?
I don't find anything funny about that.
Well, I do. I'm sorry. Would you want to go?
I'm not going to go on a Friday the 13th.
I didn't say go up there on a Friday the 13th. I said the movie. We'll be right back, Phil Henry Show. It's the Phil Henry Show, and Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is with us here. Phil Henry and you, and, you know, like we say, there's the Phil Henry Show, and then there is radio. Jay Santos with us from his home in the South Bay, and we're talking about the anniversary of the birthday, if you will, of Yosemite. Jay, as we discuss this, and you talk about media covering this, do you really feel it's the media covering Yosemite's birthday by placing ads for Friday the 13th?
Well, I think what it is, Phil, and I think the audience probably understand what I'm saying, you know, what we're trying to do is, what the Citizens Auxiliary Police has always tried to do, is inhibit individuals from panicking or creating some kind of a disturbance based upon misinformation. If you have the anniversary of what you want to call Yosemite Park, or however you want to say it, you know.
Well, it's called Yosemite National Park, isn't it?
It is the Yosemite National, yes, Yosemite National Park.
All right, well, I don't know, you call it Yosemite, however you want to say that.
No, there isn't however I want to say it, there's the name of the place.
You know that that's the name of it.
Yes, call Yosemite National Park, is that right?
Yes.
All right, I'm just saying there's, you know, different stroke of different folk, you know.
No, it's not different strokes for different folks. It's the name of the park.
All right, I think we've made the point.
Yeah, I mean, fine. So, you know, all I'm trying to do is if someone's going to go up there and you have put an ad in the newspaper that Friday the 13th is going to be on TV this weekend, oh yeah, 125 years of Yosemite, and I'm going to ask you, what is your, you know, where are you going with that? And you're going to say what to me? You're going to say, well, it just so happens that I put an ad in the paper for Friday the 13th, and I'm going to turn around and say to you, well, that's pretty, you know, what the word is.
Coincidental?
What's that?
Coincidental?
Yeah, it's very coincidental, you know.
What is coincidental?
The fact that Friday the 13th, there's an ad for that I don't understand.
Friday the 13th, if you didn't see it.
No, we all know that. Are you saying because it features a cabin in the woods?
It's a cabin in the woods, and excuse me, Phil, but... And I didn't do the movie, so it's not, you know, you can't blame me, but they have like a kid that is of some level of a mutant, you know, I hate to say it.
Excuse me, but I think that is really uncalled for.
Well, ma'am, if you've seen a Friday the 13th, they have a mutant kid to come up out of the water. Now, you're going to go up to Yosemite National Park on a day that they are celebrating a bald mutant?
They're not celebrating a bald mutant. They're celebrating national... They're celebrating...
You called it, Mr. Henry, the Yosemite National something.
No, I know it is. The Yosemite National Park.
All right, I said just...
No, what you said is whatever you want to call it. It has a name. And Phil's point is they're not celebrating the Friday the 13th franchise or cabins in the woods where murders are committed.
Well, you said murders commit. And so I think you got to back up on that.
She already did. She corrected herself.
All right, fine.
You know, I mean, I just think this is a ridiculous conversation being had by supposedly intelligent people. Now, you mentioned one other film.
I'm talking about, ma'am, on a day I admire the Yosemite Park. I'm sorry if I'm not doing it right, okay?
Yosemite National Park. Is that... too tough, or...
It's not too tough for me, no, sure. Yosemite National Park, yes, sir. But I'm saying, excuse me for just a minute. God, I'm taking medication for depression, Mr. Henry, and it does... I'm sorry.
You're taking medication for what?
For depression. I get depressed.
Well, I don't want to make a joke here, Jay. I'm sorry that you suffer from that, but I think that if you got some things correct in terms of your research, you might feel better.
Ma'am, it's not. It's biochemical depression. Got nothing to do with anything you're talking about. Okay, just to make that clear.
All right, that's fine, Jay. Look, we're here to discuss how public safety can be better served, how the public can be better served, how public institutions and public landmarks can be better protected and better served. And to that end, we're discussing Yosemite National Park, which is the name of it. Now, you have said that Yosemite gets a bad rap when it's having an anniversary observed, or its anniversary is being observed, and we see these films like 128 Hours and Friday the 13th?
And A Cabin in the Woods. There have been any number of... there was another one called... It was called Apocalypse, or... Not Apocalypse, but it was a... Prophecy was the name of it, and it was a creature. You've had any number of these kinds. Pumpkinhead was another one, you know.
What was it called?
Pumpkinhead.
What is it?
Pumpkinhead.
Pumpkinhead.
Pumpkin? You mean Pumpkinhead?
Yeah, Pumpkinhead. Pumpkinhead was...
What was Pumpkinhead? When he said what?
Pumpkinhead. Pumpkin.
Talk about Halloween.
No, I'm not talking about Halloween.
Well, that's what they have on Halloween.
I know they have that on Halloween. I'm talking about pumpkin.
Would you call it what it is, a pumpkin? What is with this pumpkin?
I'm sorry, Mr. Henry, but some people who are lower class and did not get proper education in school because they were stupid and didn't pay attention, or maybe I didn't get, you know, good food, so I fall asleep in class until I have my lunch, you know?
All right, Jay, that's fine. So you didn't learn correct pronunciation because you were falling asleep because you didn't have a good breakfast as a child. Is that it?
Well, no, that was me. I was raised in a wealthy family, but I'm talking about...
Then you have no excuse.
Well...
I mean, you're calling everything Pumpkinhead and Bidness and all this. Learn how to speak properly, will you? You're not 5 years old.
What a total ass.
Okay, well, it's fine.
God, Mr. Ian, you say that to a guy, make a guy feel like a turd.
Hey, you want to know something? I can't understand what the guy's saying. What do you want from me, all right? I'm trying to do an interview with Jay. I've known Jay for a long time, Jay. And
You've known Jay for a long time, Jay.
Hey, Robert, quit correcting everything I'm doing here tonight. And I happen to know, Jay, that you have a problem with pronouncing certain words. Punkin, boy, that makes that kind of stuff coming out of an adult, that makes me just nuts. You're speaking the English language, all right? Punkin.
Well, I mean, but the point that he made, I thought, that was even more asinine, more ass, just the definition of an ass, than the way he says pumpkin, was drawing these connections between horror films shot in the forest. Is that him?
Is that him calling back?
Yeah, Jay? Yeah, you can't hang up like that. And Mr. Henry, well, he told me you can't hang up.
Give me the phone, will you? Jay.
You know, I realize I'm sorry for what I've done.
Okay, and don't hang up because I happen to have a difficult time understanding you, man. That's why I did. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I didn't know what you were saying.
I said a word, pumpkin. I thought you knew what I was talking about.
Pumpkin?
Yes. And if you do.
All right, I looked up Pumpkinhead. This is a film that was shot in a forest.
Yeah, it's shot in a forest. You better believe it's shot in a forest. It's shot in a forest, and it was about a lady who was a witch queen and everything.
Okay, so what, man? Are you trying to tell me that this is somehow disrespectful to...
I am telling you, Mr. Henry, that if you're going to go to Yosemite National Park and you get a newspaper that you want to use, say, for kindling when you're going to do a campfire, and you glance down at the newspaper and says, hey, tonight we're going to have Pumpkinhead, or, okay, you don't want to call it that, the wolf. I don't know if you saw that they had it. There's been every kind of Wolfman movie they ever made. Most of them has to do with a forest, you know.
Okay, so it has to do with the forest. I am arguing, and I am rejecting your basic premise, which is it's disrespectful to Yosemite, to the honoring of a Yosemite, to have a horror movie that was shot in a forest on the very day that it is having its anniversary. I don't think Friday the 13th matters.
Well, Mr. Henry, you have me on as an expert on this not to debate.
Well, okay, you're right. But if you bring up a premise like that, and that movie, 128 Days, I mean, that's a true story, you know.
No.
Well, okay, so...
So that makes it even worse, if you want to think about it, because... Now what you're asking for people to do is to go into a forest. Well,
you know, I think that it is. I think that it's pretty obvious to everyone that if you go into a forest, if you're hiking, if you're in the wilderness and you are enjoying the wilderness, part of the enjoyment is that it is remote, that it is non-traditional topography, if you will. I mean, most of us are walking on the flat sidewalks of the urban and suburban areas that we live in. And so we get up into the forest, we get up there into the onto the hiking trails. It's a non-traditional environment, and we enjoy it that way. And yes, it's dangerous. There are areas that are dangerous.
And not to mention, Mr. Henry, the rattlesnake. If you're on those hills, you're hiking along, and a snake will come out, and you know these rattlesnakes will leap out and bite you. And you've seen reports on that, too.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen any movies about that, okay?
I'm talking about the news report.
Let me. This is what I understand about rattlesnakes.
All right, well, but are you arguing with me, or are you taking what I'm saying and everything?
I think Phil has the right to make to give an opinion.
Okay.
Oh, well, don't let me interrupt you, you know.
Well, Mr. Henry...
Rattlesnakes do not leap out and bite people on the legs. Most rattlesnake bites are on the hands and on the arms.
All right.
But what does that tell you?
That they will, you know, go after the hand or arm.
What it tells me is that most people that get bit by rattlesnakes are getting bit by rattlesnakes because they're too stupid to understand you can't reach into a hole or reach for a rattlesnake without the damn thing biting you. People are getting bit on the hands and the arms because they are physically attempting to either manhandle or to restrain or to kill somehow with their hands a rattlesnake.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about, Mr. Andrew?
Are you guys nuts or something? Why do you think a guy gets bit on the hand by a rattlesnake? Because he's reaching for it, because his hand is around a rattlesnake.
I didn't think of that.
Well, now you know.
Excuse me, rattlesnake is on the ground. When you're walking down a trail, a rattlesnake sees it, he's going to leap, he'll leap for it.
He'll leap for it, huh? You talking about the leg?
Maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm talking about something higher. If you're going down a trail nude and that thing's swinging around...
All right, hold on for just a minute. You better get that guy under control because he's flipping his lid now.
Well, I did talk about the very, very remote, and this is a very remote possibility that a rattlesnake is going to go for it, you know.
Go for what?
Three guesses. That's what these jackasses are talking about.
Are you telling me that a rattlesnake is going to go...
That's what he said, man, at the ball sack. You know,
just never mind about that, okay? The Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445, talking about Yosemite, 125 years old. You know, we haven't even said really much of anything about Yosemite. We've been talking about rattlesnakes. We've been talking about Friday the 13th. Oh, man. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. All right, welcome back. Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Steve Bozell and Ted Bell this Sunday with the Pro Football Game of the Week here on philhenryshow.com. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on the line with us. You have some audio, Jay, of some I know that we've had people injured in national parks. I know that there have been people injured very seriously in very, very remote areas. You claim to have some audio?
We do, Phil. As a matter of fact, we have audio of individual who had contacted us and had fallen from a height of some 75 feet on a hiking trail and had fallen a significant way down the down a side of this trail. It was on the face of the mountain. Now, it wasn't a serious fall as it turned out, but it could have very well been. And we have the audio of that only because this individual was doing a recording of the trail and of the actual hike that was going to be shared with friends a little bit later on.
You have the audio of that?
We have the audio track of that, and we'll play it for you now. So you got that? All right. You can just listen here. Get out of here. Come on, let's go. All right, I don't know. Did you hear that, Phil?
What did you just play?
I played an audio track of the guy fell down on a cliff.
Well, he fell off a cliff or did he just fall down?
He fell down off a trail, didn't fall off a cliff.
What I heard was some guy going, "Get out of here," and yeah, or something like that.
Yeah, that was the gentleman who had sent the tape in. Now he wants to be anonymous.
You mean anonymous?
I'm sorry, ma'am?
Anonymous.
What is she saying?
She said anonymous. Is that the word?
I'm sorry, yes, sir. And the gentleman won't be anonymous because of obvious ramifications from that recording. He sounds like a real fool. I mean, he sounds like a total joke, you know, falling down a cliff.
Well, there's nothing on that tape that indicates to me that a guy fell off a cliff. It sounds like a guy going, yeah, and hey, and...
Well, Mr. Henry, if you fall off a cliff, you don't go, I'm sorry, that's not the traditional, that's a non-traditional way.
Did you give his number?
Yeah, I got the guy's number. You want me to call him up?
Yes, please do, and remember that the gentleman is wanting to be, as you were saying, Ms. Gray, anonymous, and...
Yes, he wants to be anonymous.
Yes, ma'am.
Because my understanding is he doesn't want to be ridiculed.
All right. You can get him on the line, Bud.
Yeah, I've already told Bud to tell the gentleman that it's Mr. Santos calling. He'll know, then it's all right to go on the air with us. I'm not looking to make anybody embarrassed. I'm certainly not trying to make your job more... difficult, Mr. Henry, in doing it.
No, I understand that. I mean, there's been people before who've wanted to be anonymous.
It's ringing.
Okay, so Bud Dickman, who is our producer, is getting this person on the line, and we will talk to this gentleman. And my understanding is we have him right now. Is this the gentleman Mr. Santos was speaking of?
Yes, sir.
How you doing, Roy? This is Jay Santos.
I asked you not to use my name.
Okay, that's right. I didn't use...
Well, he didn't use your last name.
Well, I asked you not to use my name.
That's exactly right, and I made a mistake there, but let's just tell people, actually, that isn't your name. You know, I'm just making that up.
Well, I think that only makes...
I apologize, sir, but I did not give you I did not give your last name.
He didn't give your last name, sir.
I was saying to this gentleman that I'd sent the recording in. Yes, sir, you did send a recording in, and I did play it for the people. And is this the host of the show I'm speaking with?
This is Phil Hendry, yeah.
And so when I was on the trail, and I was given on many a day, hiking along the Mount Wilson Trail, I was given on many a day to stop and admire the beauty. There is a wonderful view from there. And it was at that moment that I felt and still feel that an animal of some kind, which I now identify as the venerable snowman, but the that's what they call it in the Himalayas, big beaver, talk about Sasquatch. Yes, sir, the Sasquatch.
All right, so you feel you saw that, sir?
Yes, I feel that I did. When I saw it...
Talk about Big Beaver.
No,
Never mind, bud, okay? It's Sasquatch.
Yeah, that's not what he said.
I know what he said.
Forgive me, I don't... What is... So it's called Bigfoot. Yes, that was the one, Bigfoot. I saw this animal at a distance of approximately 100 yards. I moved to its left, and it moved to my right, and it was obvious that the creature, having spotted me, was now very wary of me. And it was then that we got into what I call, and I don't mean to be offensive, but I call it a Mexican standoff.
Uh-huh.
And are you there, Mr. Santos?
Yes, sir, I'm right here. This is a story I didn't hear you tell.
No, I just want you to... Correct me.
You did say you're a Mexican standoff.
I was in a Mexican standoff.
What do you mean by that, sir?
Well, I mean the animal didn't quite know what to do. You could tell that it had fear in its eyes. It knew that there was something it was going to have to deal with, and that was me. And I can guarantee you, I was not going to move. The trail was mine, and for me to boo up.
Yeah, sound a little bit nervous, sir?
Hold on, and get a drink of water. Ask the gentleman. We're going to hold the gentleman over to our next hour, ladies and gentlemen. This is a gentleman named Lloyd. He, on a hiking day up on the Wilson Trail, somewhere in the mountains here above Los Angeles, saw what he thought was the Sasquatch, and he is going to be back with us to discuss further this encounter. As we continue talking here about this, the 125th anniversary of the opening of Yosemite. Interesting story about Yosemite National Park, folks. And this is true. There are people who would go to Yosemite for picnics in the early days and literally see cavalry chasing bands of Native American warriors, at least in one instance, the Sioux warrior Sitting Bull. And his warriors chase through Yosemite. We'll be back. Hey, welcome back. Our final hour here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're just holding over for a few minutes here. A gentleman that we had on last hour, Jay Sanis with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, is with us. And another gentleman who was recording actually a video of himself as he was hiking along a trail here in the foothills, some hiking territory in the foothills above the city of Los Angeles. It was at that time while he was recording video of himself and his party that he fell about 75 feet down the side of this embankment. And... We're going to pick the story up there. We have the gentleman on the line with us. He is in Alhambra, California, and is kind of giving us this, if you will, blow-by-blow of what happened while he was on this trail. The gentleman is on the line with us from Alhambra. Jay, are you there? I just make sure we have all the principles.
No, I'm right here. Yeah,
and I won't make the mistake that Mr. Santos made in our life. You don't want your name mentioned at all.
I do not want my name mentioned, and he made the mistake of mentioning my first name. I realized that he didn't mention my last name.
Good game.
What?
Well, his first name was Lloyd.
That's exactly what I did not...
Would you please be quiet?
You talking to me?
No, sir. I'm asking my staff, shut up, okay?
Who was the man that said that?
I'm sorry, Mr. Bonafide. It's Jay Sanis. I will get to the bottom of it, okay?
Get to the bottom of it? I asked you not to use my name. That's the second time.
I'm very sorry about that.
Okay, but you heard what the man said, right?
I didn't use the last name.
It doesn't matter to me whether you've used my last name or not. I don't want to be held up to the ridicule of others.
All right, sir, let's just, you know, it's okay. No, your last name wasn't used.
That's about the sixth time you people have said that to me. I've asked you not to use my name at all, and that includes my first name, which I won't say, even though it's been used twice. Well, I might as well... My name, my...
Don't just forget the whole topic of name.
Because now I'm tempted to use my name.
Don't use your name. You don't want your name used. We've made the mistake of using it twice. It's your first name. We won't use it.
Why am I compelled? Why do I feel drawn to using it?
It might be psychological, sir.
What's that?
It might be something psychological.
Well, Mr. Sanis, I haven't known you for very long, but I think you are not the one to be discussing... psychology and some of the higher arts having to do with the mind, because I'm bitterly disappointed in the kinds of clods that you've got working.
I apologize. We're doing the very best we can. We had a tape. I did this now on account of I did just now play it.
We've heard the tape of you falling down this cliff.
All right, you have heard it. And what is your estimation?
I don't know what the purpose is of this.
The purpose, Mr. Henry, was to is to indicate what Mr. Sanis was talking about, the unsafe nature of some of our parks on a day when you're celebrating the anniversary of a park where you can go and fall thousands of feet to your death. Now, that's the...
Let me take it from here, if you wouldn't mind, sir.
Go ahead.
Because he's very... What we're talking about, Mr. Henry, is... having the clarity and respect for the national parks, which we all love, to let people know you go in there and you are taking it, but you're taking it into the hand, whether you use one hand or two. You understand what I'm saying?
What do you mean by that?
Is this Mr. Henry?
No, sir. This is the gentleman that fell down the cliff.
This is Mr. Henry.
All right, Mr. What I'm saying, sir, so I'm not talking to you, am I, Phil?
No, you're talking to the other guy.
I'm the other guy. What do you mean by that?
Sir, what I mean by that is, if you, just as you so very eloquently proved when you fell down a cliff, and...
Well, I wasn't looking to eloquently prove anything, and I don't think there's anything eloquent about a man that falls. Would you please play that tape again, because I think the two of you gentlemen have...
You got the tape, Joe?
No, you have it.
I'm sorry, we do. All right, stand by. This is a tape recording... on October 7 of last year, 2012, in a forested area. In a forested area, once again, in a forested area. In a forested area, that's a tape recording.
Okay, do you recognize that?
That's the one. That's the one.
All right, now what is the purpose of you said it's to point up how unsafe... the area is.
It's to point up how unsafe the area is, how unsafe any of the national parks can be.
Can I ask a question at this juncture? I don't mean any disrespect. I don't really hear anything there that sounds like a guy falling off of a cliff.
I didn't fall off a cliff. I didn't fall off a cliff. I told you as we were exiting and we... Is this the gentleman I was talking to about the Bigfoot?
Yes, sir. It's Mr. Henry.
Yes, sir.
I saw a creature. We were in the Mexican standoff. And that's when I decided to take my chances down the cliff face to get away from this thing. And it was at that time that as I was lowering myself, I lost my footing. Now,
So, in other words, you saw this animal, this Bigfoot, and decided to turn and run.
Well, don't put it like I'm some kind of a baby, okay?
But now, we're not saying that, but you were trying to get away from it.
I was trying to outmaneuver it. I went down the face of this thing, and it was at that point that I lost my footing, yes. No time was I running from it. I don't run from anything. It just is a personal philosophy of mine.
All right. Did you report any of this to the Park Service?
I did not report it to the Park Service, and the reason, quite obvious, is that you're going to be taken for some kind of an ass. You know, they pointless. All I did was I called up this Mr. Santos. I'd been given his card in a Jamba Juice.
That's correct.
And,
you were given Jay Santos's card in a Jamba Juice.
That's right. Okay, did I make a mistake? Yes, probably I did.
Well, I don't think you did. I mean, you gave me a tape recording, and we have it, and...
What are you going to do with it?
Well, I'm playing it for Mr. Henry. What do you think?
I think it, it doesn't sound like anything.
Doesn't sound like anything. I had six shades, six different distinct shades of crap scared out of me. And you're telling me it doesn't sound like anything?
No, it doesn't, sir. It sounds like, whoa, whoo, and something like that.
What was that?
It just doesn't sound like a guy falling off of a cliff. I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry that you saw that you were frightened by this creature.
And the fact that I saw this big thing, or whatever you're calling it,
it's called Bigfoot.
It's called a Bigfoot.
It's Bigfoot, sir.
Bigfoot.
All right, and that doesn't mean anything to you.
Unfortunately, no, it doesn't, because there's sightings of that supposed animal everywhere. So,
Well, you see, this is why I said to Ellen, who is my daughter-in-law, don't take that man's card. You don't know where that hand has been. And I'm sorry that you feel that way, sir, because we did our very best. Doing your very best. You used my name, and you played the tape of me falling off.
Look, I got to tell you something. A Yosemite National Park, being 125 years old, is a good thing, and it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to run into Bigfoot, you're going to run into the guy from Friday the 13th, that you're going to meet up with some kind of a werewolf, that you're going to get your arm stuck in a boulder and have to gnaw it off, okay?
Well, you know something, Mr. Henry? I thank God in heaven that I did not get my arm stuck in a boulder, because it wouldn't have taken me no 128 hours. I can tell you that right now, my friend. If I'm stuck and I got to get out, I will bite the bullet, my man, and I will cut that arm off. I'll cut my own. If it's stuck, I will cut it off.
And that includes your penis, then.
Yeah, that's exactly what it includes.
Well, you sure don't have much use for it, do you?
Hey, let me tell you something, smartass.
Hold on for a minute.
I'm going to tell you, if you've got it stuck in a boulder, my man, you aren't going to have much use for it ever again, whether you get it out of there or not.
Well, that just doesn't sound like you're so ready to part company with it.
You know something, Santos? I regret the day I ever laid eyes on you in that Jamba Juice.
It's called a Jamba Juice.
Well, I don't give a sweet damn. Hey, Jamba Juice, I'm going to call you Jamba Juice because of this ass.
All right, thank you very much, gentlemen.
Did you have him on?
No, it was fine for an hour. But then listening to these guys going on about how... if you got it, your thing stuck there, and that's two nights in a row we're talking about cutting that off.
Well, it's a good thing we've got Obamacare, because if you had that cut off...
It doesn't matter, Margaret. People that are against Obamacare, they won't even use it if they had their thing cut off by a crazed woman. We've already established that. All right, we'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. This is the final hour here of our Tuesday night show. Our number is 855-500-7445, online at philhenryshow.com. Coming up, the L.A. Podfest on Saturday. Bobby Dooley will be there from 4 to 5:30. So get your tickets now. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Welcome back. By the way, I'm on Facebook at facebook.com/Phil Henry and facebook.com/Phil Henry fans. If you want to go over to the fan page, we're there. Unfortunately, we're at our 5,000 limit there with our quote-unquote friends. And to the guy down there in San Diego who works for some light station. Dude, I don't want your messages about how this, that, and something else. If you don't dig it, I tell you what, why don't you quit spinning all that that sissy-ass stuff, that chicken rock, and do something real for a living, okay? You want a talk show, go get a talk show. I don't need to listen to your advice. Are you a program director? Automatically, I don't. If you're a PD, I don't listen to you at all, man. You go, your comments go right straight into the delete column. It just, you know, fair warning. Okay, so this guy's sending me messages.
Well, who is this?
I'm not giving any names out. Hey, man, why don't you do this, why don't you do that? You know what, man? Go back to playing whatever that garbage is you play. Go play your Michael McDonald, whatever that chick. I don't know, even know what the hell adult contemporary is playing these days, man.
That's, you gotta listen to radio and know what's going on.
I don't listen to radio anymore. I don't listen to radio. Are you crazy? Why would I listen to radio? I listen to the stations that we're on, and that's it. Those are the only radio stations I listen to, and then I go and I listen to whatever the hell. I don't know, man. I listen to the birds in the trees. I listen to the wind, you know. I listen to the ocean.
Well, you live close to the ocean, so you can hear those things. Some of us live in the city, and we have to listen to the grinding gears of the garbage trucks and the honking of the horns.
Well, but if you live in that environment...
I live in that environment because I live in Santa Monica. Although I do live close to the ocean. Bud, where do you live?
I live wherever I want to live.
Yeah, Bud lives under bridges, you know.
I live in the city, and it's loud. I like living in the ocean, but... You know, can't afford it right now.
Well, you know what? Maybe I ought to give you guys a raise, okay? Give you enough money so you can live at the ocean. And although we aren't making that much money these days. Well, I make enough, but I don't have enough to pay you. Is that okay?
Sure, Mr. Henry. Anything just to be near you.
Yeah.
Boy. Now, that's what I call loyalty.
Yeah, well, the point being, you live out at the ocean and the rest of us...
Don't give me the rest of us stuff, Margaret. You make enough money. Or at least Frank does.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So that's what I listen to, you know. But Facebook, good God. And by the way, going over to Facebook, you know...
Why do you even worry about it?
I gotta go over there because we have a fan page. But, you know, if you really want to know why it is 13% of the country is approving of the Congress of the United States... It's because the Congress of the United States apparently only reads what people on Facebook write about them, because Facebook is the capital of the Tea Party, man. I'm telling you. You go over there and you read some of the dumbasses over there and you swear to God this is the greatest Congress that has ever been. This Congress is the greatest that there has ever been. And, you know, day in and day out, man. So, and I think that's what they were doing. I think they were basically just saying, let's go over to Facebook and read our fan mail. And it was just so glowing, just the magnificent stuff that's happening over there for them. And they didn't realize it's only like 13% of the whole country approves of what they're doing. So there you have it. And then this asinine picture of these jackasses sitting there at that table. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. What are they supposed to be doing?
They're waiting to negotiate with the Democrats.
I thought that they... Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't they already pass this bill? Wasn't it already debated? Didn't they already put it in front of the Supreme Court? Didn't they already say that this, that, and something else? Wasn't this already a done deal? And these guys are trying to make it look... These guys are trying to get reelected. They want people back home to reelect them to make it look like they're doing something. You failed, guys. You suck. You suck. If anybody puts you back in office, if people actually reelect your worthless asses, then what they ought to do is just gerrymander those districts out of existence. Because there isn't anybody that's using their brains around there. You guys were elected. You were elected to do whatever it was you were elected to do, and apparently you didn't do it, man, because no one cares whether you cats live or die. So the best thing that can happen is for you guys to just not even run for reelection if you're up for reelection. And if you are up for re-election, if you're not up for re-election, that's a good piece of news. You know, good for you and us. And, you know, but they don't get the message, man. First of all, these guys thought that they were going to have a Republican in the White House. This was the feeling that they were absolutely dead on sure that Romney was going to get elected. Oh, yeah, you watch. The American people are pissed off. Blah, 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 blah. Guess what happened? Didn't happen. And the day after that election, you would have thought an atomic bomb went. They were walking around stunned, these guys. Walking around like they couldn't believe it. They couldn't, but something's wrong. How did this happen? And people were asking the following question. Is the Republican Party dead? Has it served its purpose? Is it done? There's no reason for the existence of this party any longer. Nobody understands half of the stuff they're talking about. The things that they apparently stand for, only a very small minority of Americans support. That makes them pretty much a fringe party. That doesn't make them a mainstream party. So why do they even exist? Now, they've been taken over by this fringe. Not one damn thing these jackasses got elected to do from 2010 until now. I'm just telling you what they themselves will admit to. They ain't passed one piece of legislation, not one. So now, the last thing they do is they try and re-debate the health care plan, which already got debated. They're trying to roll back the clock and somehow stop this thing from happening, even though all of that is a done deal, man. It got voted into law. It got adjudicated as constitutional by the U.S. Supreme Court. And, of course, all of the brain surgeons in the Tea Party, and you know that they're just overflowing with some real gray matter over there. Now they're questioning the wisdom of the Supreme Court because they got some real brains over there. They got some...
You know, Phil, you're getting way too political. Even I, a liberal, feel for you.
It's my frustration is coming out. Just, I'm very, very, I'm okay. I spent the weekend, and what do you want from me? I spent the whole weekend in Washington, D.C., man.
Well, what are you doing? You over there watching the Congress and everything?
What?
You over there watching the Congress?
No, I wasn't, man. I was taking care of a sick friend.
Yeah, right.
That's what I was doing. But it just so happens I was in our nation's capital doing it. So I'll be fine. But you can see, you know. I flew yesterday when I came back to California. I took off at 7:30 in the morning from Washington. That's 4:30 West Coast time. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to pick up 3 hours.
This is the jet lag thing. Are you brain dead or something? Speaking of brain dead, don't you understand?
Yeah, it doesn't work like that.
Wait a minute. What doesn't work like what?
What doesn't lurk?
What doesn't work?
Doesn't work like that.
No, it doesn't work like that.
What doesn't work?
You don't understand.
I'm telling you that I took off at 7:30. I flew to L.A. I picked up 3 hours. It was a three-hour time change. So I'm figuring, oh, this is fantastic. I got 3 extra hours. I went to sleep, took a nap. I woke up, and I felt like somebody had hit me with a bus, man.
That's what I... Excuse me for a minute. That's what I'm talking about.
Would you stop belching on the air, please?
No, I won't. No. I'm not going to sacrifice the well-being...
Yeah, I know, of your esophagus.
That is what you don't get. The three-hour time change is the jet lag that's going to cause you to feel the way you felt.
Well, I can tell you right now, man, it was bad. So that's the last time I do that. That's the last time that I, going from L.A. time to East Coast time and back again, it's brutal. And there's no way of adjusting. You're not going to survive it. You might as well, you know, just kind of grin and bear it, man, as they used to say. All right, Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And a reminder that Ted Bell and Steve Bozell are calling our football game of the week on Sunday. That's our pro game of the week on Sunday at 1:30 Pacific time. And you can hear all the action at philtv.com with Ted Bell and Steve Bozell. Got to get a backstage pass. You do that at philhenryshow.com. 5,000 hours of audio, all kinds of podcasts, all kinds of webisodes, all kinds of everything there. philhenryshow.com.
I'm telling you that...
Hold on for a minute, okay? Number one, I don't want you singing any more of that Ted Bell jingle.
Yeah, it's still on the air.
What?
Still on the air.
I'm just saying the Ted Bell jingle... What?
We're on the air. Will you cut the mic...
I'm the one that fell down the cliff.
Yeah, I understand that, sir. We're done with you.
Well, that's dirty pool.
Yeah, yeah. All right, welcome back to the world famous Phil Henry Show here and philhenryshow.com. We thank our guests this evening. Got another 30 minutes or so to be with you. And I suppose we could just... I've been running down the news here, and, you know, it's not for me to say, as that Johnny Mathis... That was an old song. I won't get into it.
What's that?
There was an old song by Johnny Mathis called It's Not For Me To Say.
What does that mean?
It means it's not for me to say. I don't know what it means.
It was a lovely song about, like, it's not for me to say. You know that song?
Uh-uh.
Goes like this. One, two...
Margaret, hold on for a minute, will you?
What?
I mean, can we...
No. They asked about a song. I'm just going to give them... What? You know, what's your problem tonight, Phil?
Yeah, what's the problem? All you want to do is sing it.
Hey, Jack. Am I talking to you?
No.
I don't want you to sing it because I got a show that I got to get back into.
That's what I think of your show. How's that feel?
Well, now you finally got it said with a belch, huh?
That's right. I think tonight you're treading water. That's just my...
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Phil, but you're treading water tonight.
Is that right?
Well, Miss Larry, you want us to keep you honest on it. It sounds like you're treading water.
It sounds like you're treading water, and I thought I'd give you a hand. He asked about It's Not For Me To Say. I didn't rehearse that. I didn't ask him to bring it up. I'm not looking for an excuse to sing, but it sounds to me like you're treading a little bit of water, and you can use it.
Well, do you have to point that out to everybody? Can't I just sort of, you know, muscle my way through these dark spots, these dark patches?
Well, Phil, I think the audience appreciates the honesty, since it's probably very obvious to them anyway.
Yeah, it's probably obvious to them that you're treading water.
Oh, is that right, Mr. Echo? Mr. Echo Chamber?
No, that's repeating what Mr. Henry said. No, I'm not.
I'm repeating what Miss Gray said.
Well, that's what I mean, Miss Gray.
Well, how are you getting the two of us confused?
Take it easy, will you? All right, sing the song.
Well, that doesn't exactly get me in the mood. I sing the song. Why don't you give me a little bit of a build-up, Phil?
Yeah, give her a build-up that's more fitting of it.
Will you be quiet, please?
Why?
Why can't he say what he wants to say?
Give her a build-up that's more fitting of it. I don't even know what he's saying half the time. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here is Margaret Gray to do It's Not For Me To Say.
Thank you. Jesus. Bud Dickman asked moments ago... What is that smell?
I don't know.
Margaret, can we get to it, please?
Sorry. Bud Dickman asked moments ago about a song called It's Not For Me To Say. Or actually, Phil mentioned it, and then Bud brought it up. Well, Phil mentioned it. Hold on, Phil.
God.
Hold on. Phil mentioned it, and Bud asked what it was. It was a song by Johnny Mathis, and it goes like this. 2, 3, and 1, 2, 3... 1, 2, 3, it's not for me to say you love me. See, it's because I'm giving it my touch.
Yeah.
It's not for me to say you are mine. I don't know the words, but... Do-do, 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 you know.
Okay.
Well, that's all I'm saying. By the way, this Republican with his tongue hanging out, who is he?
Michelle Bachman.
Thank you.
You mean, who is he, Michelle Bachman?
I mean...
It looks like a he to me.
All right, well, thank you, Margaret, for that It's Not For Me To Say.
Well, he asked about the song.
It was a song by Johnny Mathis, all right?
I don't know what year it is.
Anyway, what I was saying was, it's not for me to say. And it had nothing to do with the song. I was talking about all this news, man, that's been going down here over the last few days that we've been following having to do with Obamacare. Now, the other thing is, there was a story here about Fox News and... What?
Don't do anything more on that.
It's very compelling.
No.
All right, we're not going to do any more on that. Sorry. Didn't mean to bother you guys. It's very compelling, that's all, you know.
Well, I understand, but don't do any more. It's pissing you off.
It is kind of pissing me off. You know, all of this stuff is worthless. So that was the Johnny Mathis song, and we started the program with you trying to rewrite Ted Bell's jingle.
I'm not rewriting the jingle. I wanted to redo the melody to the song, and that's what Ted was asking about, and that's why I came on the program.
All right, well, Ted's back on here, because things have slowed down over at Ted's, is that right?
Yeah, things have slowed. What I said was I'd be more than happy to listen to what it was she had to say once the business got slowed down over here, and we had an opportunity... we had a little bit more time, Margaret. It wasn't that I was trying to preempt you, but we did have quite a few people here that were lined up for tables right now. Ted's in Beverly Hills, a very, very favorite spot. A lot of people love the steaks that we've got here, man, and we've got some drinks that'll just knock your teeth right out.
but it has slowed down at least long enough for me to be able to sit down and listen to Margaret. So what have you got for me?
Well, Ted, what I have, and by the way, is Frank over there?
Yeah, Frank walked in here just a few minutes ago, and he's sitting over at a table with a couple of clients.
I'd like to speak with him, if I could, in a couple of minutes.
I'll certainly see if he's available.
Hold on for a minute. Hold on, Phil. What do you mean if he's... I'm his wife.
I understand that, Margaret, but he wants me to screen the calls.
Oh, is that right? Well, I'm going to call him on his cell phone.
Well, I have his cell phone.
Wait a minute. I want to ask a question.
How did you get here?
I don't know, but suddenly
I'm back here. I want to talk to my husband, please.
Well, Margaret, he gave me his cell phone, and he wants me to screen the calls. What do you want me to say?
Hold on for a minute. Let me talk to him, okay?
All right, I'll see what he says.
What is it with him anyway?
He's in here to have he's in to have his salad, and he's in to have his, he's having his... Hey, Frank.
Yeah.
Margaret and Phil Hendry. Hey, Phil.
Hey, Frank, it's Phil.
Yeah, I know that.
Well, Margaret wants to talk to you.
I don't want to talk to him right now. I'm having a drink, and I'm having every day I will talk to him when I get an opportunity.
Frank, this is Margaret. Why won't you talk to me now?
Because I'm having a drink, and I'm having the Caesar salad. And I don't want to talk to you right now, honey. Can a man have a drink and a Caesar salad?
You can have your drink and Caesar salad, but I wanted to ask you something about Jason J. Delmonico.
Oh, for God's sake. What about... We're always talking about her. Can't we talk about me and my problems and the things that concern me?
Not right now. No, we can't. We have other things to talk about. Jason J. Delmonico, I also want to change the furniture in your office, and I want to talk about that.
Oh, for God's sake. Are you going to bring that homosexual... I have nothing against homosexuals, understand that. But if she comes into the office and starts moving things around...
Boy, did he use the right gender?
No, he calls all gay people by their right gender. I mean,
he calls all gay people by their right gender.
What's that?
Nothing.
So in other words, the gay person that's coming in to change the office is a female?
That's correct, yes.
I don't know what you people are talking about, but you're beginning to really tighten my jaws. Now, quit talking about me like I'm not here. Now, I said to you, Margaret, I will talk about Jason J. Delmonico when I'm done with my drink and my Caesar salad and not a second before. Now, what's Henry want?
I'm just here to say hello to you. I'm glad to hear you. I was going to mediate whatever was going on between you and Margaret.
Oh, yeah, I don't need anyone mediating between me and my wife. I love him very much. Okay, I married him because I knew he'd make a great mother to the son that we both have. And she's turned out to be a great boy. But I can tell you that I don't need him breathing down my neck morning, noon, and night. Why don't you, honey, why don't you go off and buy yourself a dress? I'm always telling him, go get some high heels and a dress. And, of course, naturally, he goes,
Get them out of here!
Oh, for God's sake, Phil, grow up!
Grow up?! Listening to that guy butcher gender is enough to drive a guy to drink. And of course, it's almost like he knows what he's doing and he wants to flip me out or something.
Yeah, he's always going like Jason Demonico.
His name is not Jason Demonico. It makes it sound like his name is demonic. Jason J. Delmonico.
All right. He calls her a her. I mean, he calls it a her.
It's not an it. It's a him.
Yes, but he calls him an it. I mean, he calls her a him. He calls him or her.
Well, make up your mind, for God's sake.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, what's going on with you?
What's going on with me? I'll tell you what's going on with me. Too much of Frank, too much of Margaret, too much of that gender confusion. That's what's going on with me. There, does that answer your question?
Yeah, I'll have to get all uptight about it.
Well, I'm getting uptight about it. Listening to him talking about you like he, go out and buy a dress...
Well, he's going in for another series of tests at UCLA. They've got a new serum.
Oh.
So funny.
They got a new serum. Jeez. You know, oh, great. Dr. Frankenstein in residence this week? That's great.
Phil, that was uncalled for.
Oh, will you give me a break? This guy's got a malady that goes beyond anything that I've ever even heard of or understand. The guy gets gender confusion. And why? Because he had an untreated STD that went to his brain. He's okay, except he can't get gender straight. And you're married to the guy. And excuse me for saying this, Margaret, but I think out of the public interest, we should say, you've had relations with this guy.
Well, no kidding. We've got a son together, you jackass.
All right, well, fine. You're going to get upset with me. What are you doing having relations with some guy with this problem?
Well, have you ever heard of using...
Using protection?
I'm not going to...
How'd you have a kid if you use protection?
Wouldn't you like... Well, you...
All right, hey, watch it.
I'm going to explain everything to that thing.
All right, we're going to be right back here, I think, depending upon what goes on during the break. It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We do certainly appreciate you hanging out here with us. By the way, we want to say hello to our friends in Alaska, up Alaska Way, Anchorage, Alaska, back on the air. And we're going to say a special hello to our affiliate there when we come back. And all the others that have joined the Phil Henry Network, as well as our listeners, as well as our sponsors, we appreciate and love you
very, very much.
We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Back on the air at one of our longtime affiliates, KFQD in Anchorage. And got a nice letter from Joe Campbell, the program director up there. Great to have Phil back on the air with us. He was talking about our segment last night with Larry Grover, just letting his mother die rather than have her use that socialized medicine. And so on and so forth. Anyway, they are happy to have us back. Looking forward to some... fun diary comments, and KFQD Anchorage, thank you very much. Great to be on in Alaska, where the sun sometimes never sets and sometimes it, like, never comes up, you know?
What's that all about, anyway?
What's it all about?
Yeah, what, Bud doesn't understand the land of the midnight sun all...
Yeah, well, the Earth, you know, Bud, I could explain it to you, but you're not going to get it, you know?
Yeah, you're going to get it, man. Oh, yeah, thanks a lot.
Well, you're not. You're going to ask me a bunch of dumbass questions.
Explain it to him, Phil. There are a lot of people that may be in the same boat, but are a little bit brighter than him.
Well, thanks a lot.
That's a good point. The land of the midnight sun. How do I explain this? The Earth, during certain seasons, during certain times of the year, the Earth changes its rotation. It changes its tilt. It tilts a different way. Have you ever seen a globe?
What?
Oh, God, man.
Ben, you're like a globe.
You know, like an office globe.
Yeah, the one we spin around.
Yeah, the one you spin around, yeah. And sometimes it's tilted. Well, the Earth is like that. The Earth is tilted, but it changes its tilt when depending upon the season. So here in North America, where we live, above the equator, during the winter, what we call our winter, we tilt away from the sun. That is, this part of the Earth tilts further away from the sun. And that means that it gets colder, and it also means that the sun spends less time, if you will, in the sky than it does during the summertime. And if you're way the hell up in Alaska, or even further north, like the Arctic Circle, the sun is sometimes barely out. And when they say, land of the midnight sun, that's the summer. That's completely the opposite. The Earth tilts toward the sun, or at least North America does, and Alaska and the North Pole and places like that are practically pointing at the sun all the time, because as the Earth is spinning, Alaska and the North Pole are, you know, they're really not that far away from the sun no matter what time of day it is. The attitude of that part of the Earth is oriented toward the sun. I know nothing that I'm saying makes any sense to you, Bud, but I'm hoping...
No, it doesn't make any sense, but, you know, just maybe somebody understands.
Bud, that's very charitable of you.
Yes, it is, Bud. Yes, you're right. Even though you don't understand, there's got to be somebody out there that does. So, whoever does, great.
And if you don't, then we understand as well.
Is that right?
Well, yes, because basically what you said, I barely understood what you said.
Oh, will you give me a break? I explained it the best way I could.
What about, like, Australia?
Forget about Australia, will you? I ain't going to explain Australia.
Yeah, well, how come it's all dark down here?
Because it's the opposite of us, that's why. You understand? The opposite of us.
Why?
Because if we're pointed more toward the sun, man, and you look at the globe, then they're further away from it. Do you understand?
What? You're out of your mind, man. That's the craziest thing I ever heard in my life.
Dude, I didn't make this universe. Take it up with the man, okay? Take it up with the man upstairs, all right?
What am I supposed to say to him?
Go ahead and bitch to him about it. I didn't make the world, and I didn't make the damn universe. That's the way it is. That's the way they want it to be. How do I, you know, what the hell?
Well, I'm sure God didn't create the universe, if you want to believe in something like God, which I think, as you know, is very silly. But okay, let's just go with that.
Well, thank you very much, Margaret.
Well, you people that believe in God, you really crack me up. You're cute. I think you're cute. I think you're a lot of fun.
Well, that's just great.
Yeah. Now, if you want to believe in your God, it seems to me that he decided that he'd just mess with your heads. That's what it looks like to me. Because everything's just balled up, you know?
No, everything ain't balled up. Look, what Bud asked me, if the Earth
is in the sun part, then if North America's in the sun part.
Yes, if North America is tilted more toward the sun, then the part of the world below the equator ain't, okay?
No, not okay, but you understand, Bud?
No.
Well, I'm not going to explain it anymore.
Yeah, that's because you people that believe in God...
It's got nothing to do with believing in God. I'm not going to explain this. This is absolute science. This is provable fact, okay? We actually have photographs of the Earth now. We have satellites, and we have all kinds of photographs of the world, what it looks like during certain times of the year, how it's, you know, moving around, how it's... You know, there were people that figured out that the world spun on its axis... They figured that out long before we had spacecraft. They figured that out long before we had photography from outer space. Do you know that people were figuring out exactly what the continents looked like long before we could take pictures of them from outer space? How'd they do that? Man did that with his little tiny itsy-bitsy teeny-weeny brain. We actually had pictures of the continents. We could draw maps of the continents that were exact, absolutely exactly as they now appear through photography from outer space. We realize that our cartographers...
What's that?
A cartographer is a guy that draws maps. They got it dead right. Okay?
Well, all it is math.
Yeah, well, all it is math. But hey, sometimes you get this stuff right, man. And all that jazz. They figured all this stuff out. They've been able to stuff... Look at that, the whole idea of an atom and being able to split an atom. You think there was a photograph of an atom?
What are you talking about, splitting an atom for an atom bomb?
Yes. How'd they know how to split an atom?
Well, what do you mean?
How did they know how to split an atom? That's what I'm asking you.
They figured it out.
Well, how did they figure it out? Did they have a picture one?
They probably had a microscope or something.
No, they didn't, Bud. No, they did not. They had no microscope. They didn't have a picture of an atom. They didn't have jack crap. They didn't have anything.
Well, wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me... What are you saying?
I ain't trying to tell you anything. I'm telling you that we split an atom based upon our mathematical deduction that one existed. We didn't have a picture of an atom. We had pictures of mass that moved a certain way. We had pictures of mass that moved around atoms. We had pictures of, and we had mathematical equations that pointed to the existence of atoms. We didn't have an atom. We didn't say, aha, here's an atom. Go ahead and split it. We theorized all of this.
What are you talking about, man?
Oh, man, are you...
Phil, I'm an entertainment writer. I don't know... What are you saying?
Are you nuts or something? Are you nuts or something? We didn't have any pictures of atoms. We just split an atom because we decided, based upon mathematical deduction, that one existed.
Are you telling me that we bombed the Japanese based upon someone's bright idea?
Well, yeah, of course. More than a bright idea. I mean, we bombed the Japanese based upon someone's math.
Some guy come up with a mathematical equation, and you're telling me that we bombed.
Yes, we created an atom bomb.
Man, that's spooky.
Well, you guys got to do a little more reading and a little less, How dare you make the sign of masturbation? Anyway, we will see you guys tomorrow, Phil Hendry Show.
How dare you say that I'm pulling it?
You ought to be doing something other than, you know, sitting around. I don't know what you're doing, man.
How dare you?